Hello, hello, and welcome to the newest season of the Mostly Soccer Podcast. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
I am Jimmy Podcast. I'm going back to the original. We are back.
Jimmy, it's nice to be back.
It feels good. It really does. It feels really good. I feel like we've said we're back, though, like four podcasts in a row, because we do one and then go away for months. We never even did one after the end of the season, which is quite embarrassing.
No need. No
need. We've been busy. We've been really busy.
We have a lot of exciting stuff going on in our lives. And the end of the season, quite frankly, at least for me, didn't call for a podcast. It called for me retreating back into my shell and just being silent for a little while.
That last game of the season, I could have did an hour podcast myself, just talking about Ilkay Gundogan and how incredible he is.
I've tried to repress everything from that last few weeks of the season. And I honestly had forgotten the incredible comeback that City made to save the title.
Yeah, it was insane. I enjoyed every second of it. Once they came back, like the 5 seconds of the goal going in, I was literally that night before, I may have had too much to drink. I woke up that morning in a bad state. I struggled just to get to the edge of the bed to turn the TV on to watch the game. And it ended with me jumping. I think the highest I've ever jumped in my life and felt like a brand new man. Ilkay Gundogan cured me. He saved me. And I will forever be grateful.
Oh, God, Jimmy. I've missed the Premier League so much. It feels like I haven't watched a game in, I don't know, since the Champions League final. I mean, I really haven't watched much of any of this preseason just because I can't get into the preseason for the most part. I did want to go see Arsenal in the U.S., but I figured it wasn't really worth taking a trip.
Yeah, and that's how I felt. Yeah. I wasn't, put it this way, I wasn't going to Wisconsin. I wasn't high on my list.
I know. They almost got me to Baltimore. But then I'm strongly considering heading back to England at the end of this year. So I'm hopeful I'll get to see it then. And preseason just feels too not real to me. It feels real when Arsenal is winning. Or actually, that makes it feel unreal. because I know that that's going to be snatched away from us sooner rather than later. And when teams like Everton lose like 4-0 to Minnesota United, that is always something I want to believe is real, but I know it's not, you know?
I get it. Though, you know, prefacing our preview, we may talk about some of these things in it.
Definitely. But before we get right into the meat of things, Jimmy, we're going to talk about our predictions for the upcoming season. And all of these things that we like to do, like top four relegation, player of the season, and so on. We've had some big life news, I think, since the last time we've podcasted. Every podcast, by the way, for the past like four or five of them, you've had something insane going on.
That's true. That is true. Well, I guess I'll do mine first because you got I think you have the bigger news. So I'll do mine, which is I got a new job. So we'll start there. Big executive boy now.
Yeah.
Got my big boy pants on. And also, I am recording from my new house.
I know. And literally every podcast, I think for the last like three or four of them. I mean, granted, we've only done three or four of them in the past 6 months. But still, every one, Jimmy has had something. He got engaged. He's buying a new house. He's got a new job. Yeah. I don't know. You're lots of moving parts over there.
It's been a busy year.
Yeah. I know, but we're going to get each other back on the podcast schedule at least every other week, Jimmy. We have to commit to that.
I'm committed. I'm committed. After this week, I'm fully situated in the house, so I'm good. Every other week we'll do it. I think that's a good starting point. And if we want to go more from there, we'll go from there, but I think that's something we can manage.
Yeah, I mean, I might want to do more just because I feel like Arsenal are definitely winning the league this year.
More is always better, but let's at least keep our minimum. We're bad at meeting our minimum.
It is true. And for my news, I recently have gotten engaged.
Hey,
hooray. Even though I've been with Brooke for, this is going on 13 years. Now a ring has been added to the equation. So Not much changes except for that, but exciting news nonetheless. I'm excited.
Big change, a big change. But don't downplay it.
A title change.
Like, title change. Yeah, exactly. Legally, it's a big change.
legally, I'll be signing some contracts in the near future. When I sign, if there is a marriage contract that you sign, I want to take like a signing photo, a new signing. I want like my parents in the back of me, like hands on the shoulders.
That pen. Awkward picture they always take with the executive you only see for the pictures.
That's right.
That fake smile.
We need more pictures like that just in our lives in general.
Yeah, the signing. People, like when you get a job in real life, you should have to take a picture signing your offer letter.
I love that. Oh, man. But anyways, Jimmy, we have so much to talk about. And this is fun stuff. This is speculation. This is stuff that you don't need to be prepared for. And this is what we're best at, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Our predictions.
Anything that doesn't inquire real thought.
No, our predictions are usually not so egregious. I had one that came back to me a few months ago from our friend Danny, all the way from, I don't know where he is, Leeds, somewhere around there. He took a screenshot of my Pepe prediction.
Oh, yes, yes, I did see that.
I forgot what I said.
God, I don't know. It was something like...
Oh, I said blocked. Well, I responded to him and I told him that he was blocked.
Yeah,
bringing that back up.
Yeah,
but my prediction was that Pepe was going to score over 15 league goals, and I think Pepe played a combined 15 minutes in the league. Needless to say, it did not happen. That was a very cold take. This year, I intend to have no cold takes, only stunners.
All right, let's see. I'm excited. I'm excited to jump into it. I was doing the research I could do today to try to be prepared and understand. It really made me so excited, though, I have to say. I'm just so ready for the season to start. I'm ready to get back into it. Now that we got that stupid community shield over with that nobody cares about, now we can get into the real meat.
Hey, I love the community shield. Arsenal never lose a community shield.
Well, City always lose a community shield, at least the last 2 years, so I'm really about done with it.
I mean, where should we even begin, Jimmy? We're not going to talk about the community shield. We're not going to talk much preseason. I don't think we need to talk transfers. I think we're mostly past that.
Yeah, I think at this point, everyone knows the big transfers. And there's actually probably been tons of like under the radar ones that unless you're like you support that club, you probably don't even know it. That's like I saw one today. It was that Mbabu actually had made a transfer to the Premier League. And I'm like, I didn't even know that happened. And there's like, you know, you always get your surprising ones like that, that, you know, you're going to turn on a game and be like, this dude plays for Fulham now. Like, it's just, you know, it's going to be interesting things like that. I was shocked with the Dwight McNeil transfer to Everton. Shocked me. I didn't hear anything about that. Next thing I know, he's an Everton player, which is also a great transfer, by the way. But.
Fully agree. All right, Jimmy, I think where we start first is perhaps with these new clubs that have just joined the Premier League. And that will transition us into our next segment. But first of all, Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, and lastly, the last club is, Jimmy,
Fulham.
Fulham.
It's always Fulham because it's an even year. If it's an even year, Fulham are back in the Premier League.
An even year, Fulham are back, and they'll be going straight down.
Yes, yeah, so next year we'll be back in the Championship, and then we'll do it again in 2 years, and they'll be back again. It's kind of how it goes.
It's incredible. They are the most yo-yo team ever. Them and Norwich just trade spots every year, and it's fantastic. But Nottingham Forest is a team that I just wanted to talk about quickly because I think they've made the most transfers of anyone. I think they're in the double digits or pretty close to it. I mean, they got Jesse Lingard, they got Nico Williams from Liverpool, and they have about 100 other folks that they signed. I know they shipped out Spence to Tottenham, which I thought was a very solid signing for them. But I'm excited to see what Nottingham Forest have. I mean, they knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup this past season, and I think they knocked Spurs out as well, or they at least knocked out someone else. I think it was Spurs, but... excited to see what they have to offer, owned by an American, I believe. So a team to keep your eye out on, Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they brought in some players. They also brought in Dean Henderson, on loan from United to be the goalkeeper. Wayne Hennessy, I think, joined them too. So they got a couple experienced Premier League goalkeepers. You mentioned Lingard, Nico Williams. Their biggest signing, which was, I don't want to mispronounce it, Awoniyi from Union Berlin. So they've made a lot of different moves. They brought in Omar Richards from Bayern as well. Like they've made a lot of moves, to your point. Like there's a lot of people coming in. I don't know how well it's going to work for them. I don't want to spoil my next something I'm going to bring up later with them, yeah. But you know, every year we see there's always one team that comes up every year that just spends a bunch of money and brings in a lot of different players. It doesn't usually work out when that happens, is what I'll
yeah.
say.
I feel like it's usually Bournemouth. I mean, not Bournemouth, Fulham.
Yeah, it is usually
Fulham. I feel like does that whenever they're promoted every even year. Oof. But I'm most interested in them out of the new clubs. I mean, we've seen Bournemouth, but this time it'll be without Eddie Howe, now mm-hmm. coaching Newcastle. And then I know Fulham just absolutely dominated the championship last year. I think Mitrovic scored over 30 goals, mm-hmm. And they basically ran away with it. So it'll be interesting. And I don't know, Jimmy. I was originally thinking we should go into our relegation picks right after the new teams promoted. Yeah. But I don't know. Is it too soon?
We can. I do want to talk about Fulham and just, Michael, you should have known I'd have to bring this up. So Fulham coming back to the Premier League doesn't just mean that Fulham's coming back. It means an old friend of this podcast is coming back. The snake oil salesman himself, Marco Silva, is back.
Oh, no, I forgot about that.
He's back.
Oh, boy.
He's made his return. We haven't seen him since what I was the 18-19 season, I want to say, with Everton mm-hmm. was the last time we saw him. As you know, I was a big critic of him. I was not a believer in him. I deemed the snake oil salesman. But Fulham were fantastic last year in the championship. They're back. I think there's a lot of hype again for Marco Silva again, because I've seen articles written about him now talking about his time at Everton, talking about his excitement for his return. And I have to say, I am intrigued to see what they can do.
But do you believe that Fulham have the ability to stay up is the question?
I'll tell you, I do. I actually have Fulham staying up. I believe this is the year.
Interesting, I Jimmy. Very interesting. You know, I looked at the table for a few minutes today. And I guess we should go into our relegation picks, but I don't even know where to begin, to be honest, because it feels like the league is so strong at this point. And like these middling teams like Crystal Palace, Newcastle are going to be very good this year. Brighton were great last year for a period. Brentford are very good. There aren't many bad teams. Yeah. So it's very hard to pick.
It is. I felt the same way. I do think we've seen, I don't think Brighton are going to be relegated, but I think Brighton were hit really hard in the transfer window. They've had very minimal signings in, and they saw Bissouma go to Tottenham. They lost, I want to say almost 10 players or so. And again, a lot of these players weren't, you know, major players in the team, but I just not seeing really any addition there and seeing someone like Bissouma, who actually I was a big fan of, leave.
Right.
I don't think that's great for them.
Yeah, and Cucurella is apparently going to Chelsea now, or they're in hot pursuit of him after City won't up their bid.
We'll see. It does look like he's going to leave, whether it be to City or Chelsea, it looks, or Barcelona. Now Chelsea's involved. Barcelona are on the table. Yeah. That's all they just live to take whoever Chelsea wants.
That has been the story of the summer, by the way. Barcelona just taking literally every single player that Chelsea want to sign and signing them.
Well, and also, can we also look at the fact that Chelsea just want to be City? So they're done going after the City players after getting Sterling and being rejected on Ake. Now they're going for City's targets now, too. It's a little weird. But either way, I don't think Brighton are getting relegated. But I do think Brighton are a team I look at that say maybe they won't be as good this year as they were last. Whereas someone like Leeds, who made a lot of additions, did lose probably their two best players. I don't really think it's I don't think there's any argument there. I think Rafinha and Phillips were the best two players.
Right.
To lose both of them is going to be really, really tough. But Brendan Aaronson already looking actually really good in preseason. Sinisterra is a good player. I think a solid replacement for Rafinha. I've not been a big fan of Tyler Adams, the second American to come in. I've never really bought the hype, but you never know. They also got a youngster from City as part of the Phillips deal, like Mark Rocha, also coming in from Bayern. Like they've made some solid additions. I think they'll be better. But I can tell you, Michael, I have a team that's going to be worse. I have one team. So of the three coming up, I will tell you my relegation. I think Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest are both going right back down.
Ooh, interesting. But
I'm going to tell you who's going to join them after this truck goes by. I can tell you who's going to join them. Second season Blues. I think Brentford are going down this season.
That's a really interesting three. It's always easy to pick the teams who are newly promoted. I mean, it's usually correct that one or two of them will go down. Mm-hmm. And Brentford is a really tough one because Brentford had a lot of weeks where they impressed me. Mm-hmm. Like, they can score, they can play really well, and playing at Brentford is really a difficult spot. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I believe they're going down.
Can I tell you why? So Brentford, the second half of the season, were not doing as well. Really in the middle, they kind of stalled. Then Christian Eriksen came in and actually was a real big addition for them. And losing him, I think, actually, because he kind of reignited the team in a lot of ways. I think losing him hurts. I do like Aaron Hickey. I think he's actually a really good signing. A Scottish fullback who impressed in Serie A, which is a very tough league to impress in. I think he's a good signing. I think Ben Mee is a really good signing as well. But I just feel like we see this time and again, these teams that come up and have a really good first year and then struggle the second season. Leeds were able to survive and not go down.
By the skin of their teeth.
But we've seen it time and time again. And I think Brentford, this might be the year that it happens to them.
Interesting. Yeah, my picks, I think I'm agreeing with you that Bournemouth are probably at the bottom of my list right now. Nottingham Forest, I don't think. I believe in them. I'm concerned for Fulham. I'm always concerned for Fulham. I'm really concerned for Everton. I don't know if that's dumb.
See, I was feeling the same way. So I'm not the biggest Frank Lampard fan.
I think he's probably my least favorite manager in the league.
Like, and that's the thing. I haven't seen anything from him yet that makes me think he's going to be successful as a manager. And this Everton team at the end of last year were abysmal. They were bad, bad, bad. And they've lost really the only match winner they had in that team was Richarlison, as big of a pain in the ass as he can be.
Yeah.
He was a very, very good player. And he always came up with clutch goals. And he was always a nuisance more than anything else in the best way. Even if he wasn't scoring, he was pestering the back line. He was creating chances for other players. They've yet to backfill that. They haven't made any signing that replaces the goals they lost there or that effort that they lost up front. Obviously, they still have time. And I do think Dwight McNeil is an excellent signing. And I think Tarkowski is a good signing. I think he's a good, solid center back. I don't think he's as good as he was, you know, two or three years ago when he really had that amazing season. But I think they're both good players. But I just don't know if it's enough. I really don't know.
You know, they have good players, but they also have players like Dele Alli, who I don't think is really the quality that you want starting in your midfield for Everton. Because, for a team like this, you need to rely on Dele Alli. And I just don't think he has it anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll be proved wrong, but I know in preseason against Arsenal, that one game that I caught a little bit of, he was rough. You know, like Tom Davies, can you really rely on him? Can you rely on Damari Gray to have, you know, the moments that he had last season? I'm not sure. And that back line is just a mess. I mean, Yeremina sucks. I think he's actually a bad player and a bad person, most likely.
bad person.
He's probably a nice guy. I'm sure he's nice, but he's He's one of my least favorite players in the league. Mason Holgate, you know, even Jordan Pickford. I don't love that team front to back. They do scare me, and I like can't pick them to go down because it was just a year or two ago, not a year ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that I was like, you know, Everton could really crack into the top six.
Yeah.
And then the world really collapsed on them.
Things have changed dramatically. Yeah. They're just not that. I mean, really, I'm not a big fan. I've never been a big fan of Calvert-Lewin. I mean, outside of being very good in the air, I've never really seen that much out of him. I think Anthony Gordon actually is probably their best attacking player. When he's on, he looks very threatening.
I like Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin. I think he's a good player.
He's all right. I mean, obviously they have my boy Andres Townsend, who can always show.
That's why you didn't pick them to go down.
Yeah. Townsend alone saves you, keeps you up.
But all that to say, I've really, really considered putting Everton in my relegation picks. I think they probably escape it. I think they're going to be around that bottom again, though. I'm going to put Fulham as the second team relegated, finishing in 19th. And then that last spot, I don't want to say it, but I think it's probably going to be a reality that Leeds go down. Like you said, they lost Calvin Phillips. They lost Rafinha. Those are two guys, especially Rafinha, from an attack standpoint, that can carry a team on their shoulders. And, you know, I like Aronson a lot. Tyler Adams, and I don't think he's a replacement for Calvin Phillips. And, you know, Jesse Marsh, I want to root for him. I'm going to root for him. I'm going to root for Leeds. You know, we went through a big Leeds phase, and I don't think it's there. But Bamford's back. Bamford's back. That's huge.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. And again, I don't know. I feel like I don't think Leeds are going to be incredible. I just think they're going to be solid enough that I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of fall into that Crystal Palace of last season range, where it's like they're not great, they're never really pushing too far forward, but they're doing enough to just be safe all year. I think they're good enough, but to your point, you know, losing your star players like that can have a big impact. So it's really going to come down to how did the new players start. Do they start off hot? Because then they're good. If it takes a while and if they struggle, I mean, and the biggest thing is injuries. Can the players who they mm-hmm. had the most ridiculous injury record last year?
They did.
Can the players that are still there stay on the field? We'll see. Just, I mean, Phillips was a big part of that. Phillips missed a great part of last year. So it's not like they went from having him every game last year to not having him this year.
Right. And it's also just that defense for Leeds. They were just dismal at certain points last year, and they straightened up a little bit towards the end. But I'm concerned. I have to put them in the last spot. It doesn't give me any pleasure to do that because I really do like Leeds, and we have a lot of friends online who support Leeds, and we cheer for them as well. But I think they're my last spot, unfortunately. But Jimmy, let's move off to something a little bit more exciting. The first manager to be fired. This might be my favorite prompt.
Yeah, this is the one you love.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with this one. I really did.
I think we're going to have really, the same really answer. Did.
And I'm going to go with Frank Lampard. Yeah. Just because the thing is, I think him being such a big name is part of the reason why. Because if they struggle, people are going to be calling for his head more than, you know, than say they would for Marco Silva, who just had, you know, such a great season at Fulham to bring them up. He probably has a little more leeway with the fans, whereas Everton fans never really seem to be on board with the Frank Lampard hiring. And now if he struggles again after struggling a bit last year, almost getting them relegated, I think it could be him.
Yeah, that's why I said I think we're going to have the same pick, because I think we both have the same feelings for Frank Lampard. I think the epitome of what a bad manager Frank Lampard is his time at Chelsea, where I think he left them and they were about in sixth place. They were really struggling. Looked like they weren't going to make the top four. Champions League looked like it was no shot. Tuchel comes in, wins the Champions League, and then Chelsea finished top four. I mean, that's a tough look for Frank Lampard. And then goes to Everton and then just keeps them in that tanking position where, I mean, I don't know. I don't see the value of Frank Lampard aside from his name. As a manager, I don't think he has it. I think he's going to be the first one. And aside from him, I think Jesse Marsh could be the next. Hate to say it, but I think it could be the truth. And then I have an interesting pick for you.
Okay.
I think that Chelsea are going to struggle this season, as a spoiler.
Okay.
I think there are rumblings of Thomas Tuchel being angry and unsettled. A lot of the signings that he's wanted haven't gone his way. And if things start off rocky, don't put it past Chelsea to start looking for a new manager.
Wow. Okay, I'll be honest, I did not see that one coming.
It's a bold take, but it could be a reality. Just keep a little eye on that one.
Yeah.
Chelsea had a rough preseason, and it is documented that Thomas Tuchel is not happy with the way transfers are going thus far.
Okay, I like
hot
it.
Take.
I like
hot
it.
Take.
Yeah, I like it.
Probably not going to be the first one, but I think down the stretch we might see some discomfort at Chelsea.
Okay.
All right. Next one, Jimmy. Do we want to do personal accolades? Golden
Boot?
Yeah,
stick with the personal. Stick with the personal first. Then we'll do a top four. No
worries. All right. Who do you think is going to win the Golden Boot this year?
So I was really torn on this one between two players that I think it's going to be down to. And in the end, I am going to go with Harry Kane.
Yeah. Interesting.
Obviously, I want to pick Haaland. I want Haaland to win everything. And I think he's going to score a boatload of goals.
I think so, too.
But I think Harry Kane finally settled. I think he's now come to accept it, that he's not moving, that he's staying at Spurs. I think Spurs are going to be good. I really do. I think getting Conte to stay, kind of how it ended at the end of the year. Once they went through that rocky phase, it kind of settled things out a bit. I think they're going to be good. I think a settled Harry Kane is going to score a boatload of goals again. He ended up finishing the year with a lot of goals after scoring none for months.
Right.
So I think Harry Kane's going to be back. I think it's a World Cup year. I think he's going to want to be ready and go firing for England. I'm going Harry Kane. This is my Golden Boot.
That's a good pick. You know, my instincts tell me Haaland, because I think City are just going to score a boatload of goals. And I think, I mean, we saw it a little bit in the preseason, the first goal he scored in a City shirt where, you know, he put in a tap in. I think there's going to be a whole lot of those for Haaland to score. I think he's going to be taking their penalties. City have a terrible track record with penalty takers.
Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be a combination of that. I'm between him and Mo Salah. You know, I think Harry Kane, like you said, he started last year rocky, then really got going. There's a lot of attackers in that Spurs team now. Mm-hmm. You know, they signed Perisic, they signed Richarlison. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to rest Harry Kane. They won't, but they will have the ability.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he's getting a little bit up there in age. Could be that Richarlison gets a few games up front. I have to go with Haaland, though. I think City are just going to score a boatload of goals. They always do. There are going to be games when they crush teams like Southampton 9-0. There's always one of those, and it's always against Southampton. I think that's a game like Haaland can score like 5 goals in a game, and it's just going to be games like that bring someone over the edge. So I'm going to go with Haaland.
I could see that. I hope you're right. I do think he's going to score tons of goals. I really do. As long as he stays healthy, which is a Harry Kane thing too. You got to stay on the field, but I think there's going to be a lot of goals scored.
Right. I don't foresee Haaland scoring under 20 goals. I think that's easily happening.
Yeah, I think we're talking, I'm thinking for probably both of them, we're talking 25 plus for both of them.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's what we're going to see this year. I think we're talking 24 to 27 range for goals.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think Darwin Nunez isn't a bad shout either. I know for some reason Twitter has attacked this man.
Well, I think it's torn. People either think he's incredible or awful. And I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but more towards the good side. I think he's a very good player. I don't want to attack him as a Liverpool player. I think he's a very, very good player.
Right.
I think he's going to score a lot of goals. I just, Salah's going to be taking penalties, whereas I think Kane and Haaland will be taking penalties. So I think that will take away from his chance on that. I also think that he's going to need to, I don't know if he's a day one starter for Liverpool. I think it might take a few weeks before he's really into the team to start, but we'll see.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Gabriel Jesus?
Yes, I love it. You'll hear more about him later, so let's save that.
All right.
But he's going to score goals, Michael. I really believe so.
I think so, too. I mean, the man has not stopped during preseason. It's been incredible. I mean, every game he scores at least a goal. It's been amazing.
We're going to talk about him.
I know. I figured we would. I think we're going to have the same transfer of the season.
Just do it now.
Transfer of the season. Gabriel Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. I love that, Jimmy.
Yes.
I think this Arsenal team is going to be special this year. And by special, I don't mean they're winning the league. But I think special as in they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. They're going to be very solid. You're finally going to see the plan come together. I mean, we saw it at various points last season, but they were doing it with Emile Smith Rowe and Bukayo Saka carrying that team on their shoulders and without a striker. Mm-hmm. And now this team has bolstered up. We've brought in a phenomenal player in Gabriel Jesus. We've brought in the leading assist maker in the Portuguese league in Fabio Vieira. We could be bringing in Yuri Tillemans, another midfielder, to back this team up. Which is desperately needed. We've brought in Saliba, who won the French Young Player of the Year.
Maybe.
I mean...
They're still trying to get him back.
Well, he's been playing. He's been playing well in preseason, too. Jared Tierney's going to be back.
You're missing somebody, Michael. Who else did you bring in?
Who did we bring in?
Stud. Left back, but he's a center mid. He can play everywhere.
Zinchenko. Phenomenal signing as well. I mean,
show some respect.
Arsenal have done some incredible business, but I think Gabriel Jesus, as it stands right now, going off his preseason, I think is the transfer of the season.
Yeah, I do as well. I think that someone like Haaland may get more of the headlines at the end of the year because I think he'll score more goals.
Right.
But I think for the price tag they got Jesus for, I think for the need that they had, I think for him personally, this is the move he needs. He's a player who needs to play consistently, and he's never got that at City. Since he's been at City, he's never got consistent game time. When he's hot, he's incredible. He goes through spells. This is what he does. And it's the same thing with Raheem Sterling, who's another transfer to Chelsea. They are streaky players, but when he's hot, he's incredible. His talent is top-of-the-line talent. It's just a consistency with him. It's a confidence, which I think is the biggest thing with him. And I think having the chance to have a team where he's going to be the top dog when it comes to the striker position, which he is now, I really think he can excel. And I think he's going to do great. I really do. I said it from the second he was linked. I said to you, like, this, I don't want him to leave. When it was linked that him and Sterling, at the time we thought one was going to go, in the end both went, I said, sell Sterling, keep Jesus. And I think most people would have thought the other way. But Jesus, his work he does off the ball is incredible. He's the hardest working player on the field every match. With the talent he has, I think it's a great sign. I'm really excited for you, honestly. And I'm excited because I feel like I watch Arsenal a lot through you and through doing this podcast. And I'm excited to get to see the next chapter for him.
Yeah. And I mean, from what we've seen so far, knock on wood, it's just going to keep improving. You know, I think Saka, Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus, all players who mix in between that striker position and wing position. I mean, Arsenal are really City light. Yeah. You know, we've said this through text, but like it's trying to be the same system. We're signing City players. And I think Arsenal are going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. But we'll get more into that as the weeks go on, maybe towards the end of this episode. But Gabriel Jesus, both our pick of the season. I mean, Zinchenko, I think, is going to be an incredible signing for them, too.
I do, too. His versatility is fantastic. He was crucial in the City comeback that we briefly talked about. His incredible move to get through, just cut through the defense and make the perfect pass. He's a very, very underrated player. He's, you know, he's had some mistakes like any player does, but for a player like him who learned, literally became a left back just overnight, had thrown into it by Pep, has excelled at it, can play anywhere on the field. I'll always remember, I told you, the Champions League game, not last season, the previous season, where he completely locked down Neymar one-on-one all game for a non-natural left back to be able to do that against literally one of the best wingers, you know, of the generation. He's a great player. And $30 million is a great price. Great price for City, too. Bought him for $1.2 million,
yeah,
whatever it was. Like, it was an all-around great deal for everyone. So I'm very excited for him as well.
Yeah, agree. And when you think that Alex Iwobi sold to Everton for $30 or $35 million a few years ago, that is just a steal.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Who do you think is going to have the most assists this year?
So this one, I'm going City. I'm going Kevin De Bruyne. I almost didn't want to go because this is like ever since halfway through last year, where like the new KDB, where he's a goal scorer more than a passer lately. And I love it. He's far more aggressive than he's ever been. But I think with the addition of Haaland, we're going to see the usual KDB come back. I do want to have a shout. And this is like, I don't know, are we doing a surprise player of the year or a breakthrough? Or
we got a one to watch.
So we don't really have one for this. So I guess I'll say it here. My kind of surprise of the season player, it's Jack Grealish. I think Jack Grealish is going to come good this season because I've seen it happen so many times with the second season for City. Whether it be Bernardo Silva, Joao Cancelo, Riyad Mahrez, so many players have struggled at first to take under Pep and then have broken through. I think with the sale of Jesus and Sterling, we're going to see a lot of Grealish this year. And I think he's someone who will blend nicely with Haaland, having that central striker to link up with. I think Grealish is going to have a really good year. I really do. I almost wanted to pick him for the assist because I think he's going to be that good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a solid shout. I mean, it's hard to say that £100 million player is going to be a breakthrough player.
He can't be a one to watch because he's like, you know, he's literally the record for an English player. So, but my point is, I do think someone who got a lot of hate last year and a lot of criticism, I think he's going to be really, really good this year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who my top assist maker is going to be. You know, it's so hard, like. I'd love to pick Odegaard. It's not going to be him.
I would say Mon.
It's not going to be him. I love Odegaard. Odegaard is someone who's streaky from what I've seen. Again, another player who's dominated games in the preseason this year. I think I'm probably going to go. I might have to go with Son or Mo Salah. I mean, I feel like Spurs have a lot of attacking options this year. And Son, I know, won the Golden Boot jointly last year. But I feel like he might be up there with assist. Kevin De Bruyne is the easy answer. I'm just trying to do something different, be a little bit contrarian because we've had some of the same picks. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll go Son. Why not? I mean Harry Kane's going to score a lot of goals too.
If you want a real shocking pick, just with a shout, I'll give you, is Christian Eriksen with a shout?
No, I don't think so.
If Ronaldo stays, he's going to still score a bunch of goals just like last year, whether how good United are or not. And I think Ten Hag is really going to trust Eriksen as someone he's familiar with.
Yeah.
As he tries to figure out what his team is going to be. So I think he's going to play a lot. So I think, like, as a shout, like I'm saying, not someone I think is really going to do it, but as a random shout, I think he's a good pick. But if you don't pick him, I think you have to pick Kevin De Bruyne, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I think that's it.
It's so funny. You always forget about Trent Alexander-Arnold, but he is always up there. I mean, last year, I'm just looking at the list now. I think he had 12 assists, which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
He's a great player. All right.
Liverpool's best player.
hot
except
take,
for the fact
take.
He can't defend.
Yeah, hot take. All right.
That wasn't serious. I'm just being a dick.
Who's your one to watch?
So this is one I feel like biased when I pick someone related to City, but they're not a City player anymore, but they're a former City player. So this is my random pick. This is definitely going out on the limb, and I'm picking, and I want to make sure I pronounce it right, Gavin Bazunu. So he is exactly. And I figured you would say that. And this is why he's one to watch.
Yeah.
He's going to be Southampton's goalkeeper this season.
Oh.
So he's going to be their goalkeeper. He's an Irish international already at 20 years old. He's already played 10 times for Ireland. They bought him from City for 13 million pounds for a 20-year-old goalkeeper.
Yep.
I think he's going to be really, really good. I think he's going to get a lot of chances to make saves because I think Southampton are good, but not they. Like you said, they have a tendency to have games where they struggle defensively.
Yep.
So I think he's going to be really good for them. It was their most expensive signing, and I think he's going to impress a lot of people. So I'm going with Gavin.
All right, I like that. A player that's not new to the league, but was out injured most of last year, Eze for Crystal Palace. A player I really like.
I like him.
Think he's phenomenal. Was so upset when he got hurt for the better part of last year. I think this Crystal Palace team is really strong. I'm actually scared that Arsenal are going to lose their first game away at Palace because I think they're that good. And they always give Arsenal a problem. I know they always give City a problem too. And I think Eze is going to have his breakout year. I mean, he did a little bit before he got injured. And then, you know, we just haven't got to see him. I think he's going to come back strong. So I'm ready for that. And I think Gabriel Martinelli, I know he had a huge year last year. I think he's going to have a very big year this year as well.
I always have weird feelings on Martinelli. I just don't know how to feel about him as a player yet.
He's excellent. I'm telling you, he's excellent. I think he's better than Emile Smith Rowe, in my opinion.
Well,
Not better than Bukayo Saka. I think Bukayo Saka is still Arsenal's best player.
I'll give you one more. Boubacar Kamara, who moved from Marseille to Aston Villa on a free. Very good player. Can play all over. Can play in the center mid. Can play at both fullback positions. Young players. I want to see his early 20s as well. I think he's a very, very talented player. I'm excited to see him. I think Aston Villa's made some good signings. Getting him, getting Diego Carlos as well. I like what they did.
Yeah, Villa are a strong team. I mean, I think they're going to be firmly mid-table, and they're going to be a team like Palace who you just don't want to play because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we have... do we do manager of the season first, player of the season, or top four? Do we save top four for last?
I feel like... Yeah, I guess we could save it for last. Sure, save it for last.
All right, who's your player of the season?
So, my player of the season, I'm going Erling Haaland.
I know. I mean, like, if they win the Golden Boot, they probably win player of the season.
I didn't pick him to win the Golden Boot, so I felt like almost that I had to pick Harry Kane for this. But I do think winning the league matters a bit, and I think City have a better shot than Spurs. Though I think Spurs have a real shot this year. I actually really do. But I'm going to go with Haaland. I'm going with it. I don't know why. I'm sticking with it. I believe that he is a game-changing signing for City, so I'm going with
it. He's a menace. I mean, there's just no two ways around it. Haaland is a beast. I mean, I know he missed a few questionable ones against Liverpool, but I mean, it's your first big game in the country. I don't think he's gonna make those mistakes again.
Yeah, the movement he has for someone that size and with that finishing ability is just insane. The speed he has for someone that size is insane. Yeah. I just think he's going to terrorize the league.
He's no joke. I'm really concerned that City are going to run away with the league because he's just so good and the team is already incredible. It's such a hard question. Like, KDB is an easy answer. Like, I tried to avoid him for the most assists. He's going to win the most assists again. I think it's him. I think he's just the best player in the league. Mo Salah is also another easy answer. But like you said, he's just going to be feeding Erling Haaland. He's going to score double-digit goals as well. I think it's probably KDB.
I can't argue with that. I will say he is the best player in the league. Truly don't believe. I know Mo Salah's fantastic. I know Son's fantastic. Harry Kane. It's a league of fantastic players. Cristiano Ronaldo, sure. But Kevin De Bruyne is the best player in the league.
I think
when he is on, he is unplayable.
Yeah. I think all around it's De Bruyne. Last year at a point, though, Mo Salah was the best player in the world.
Oh, yeah.
He was
he started the year just insane, especially and at a point where Kevin De Bruyne started the year in the worst form I've ever seen him have.
Right. But City have made, you know, pretty big additions to back him up and to play in front of him. So it's going to be exciting to see them. Manager of the season.
So, Michael, I'm going to surprise you. You do it yourself, right? You're
Mikel,
raising your
Mikel,
own.
Mikel.
I'm going Mikel Arteta.
Yes, me too.
I think Arsenal make top four.
Spoiler alert.
And for whatever reason, if City win the league, don't win the league. Pep never gets to win, so it's not going to be Pep. I don't believe Liverpool are going to win the league. It's not going to be Klopp. I believe it's between Conte and Arteta. I'm going Arteta.
I am in full agreement. I think it's going to be between Conte and Arteta. But I think Arsenal will be the most improved team we see from last year. And that literally might just be them moving up one place into fourth. But Mikel Arteta was a real shout last year, too, for manager of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, that team, that lineup on paper, the team of 20-year-olds had no business being anywhere around the top four. And they came very, very close. They should have been in, and they messed it up. But I don't think they're going to mess it up this year. They have bought some real quality players, players with Premier League experience. They've gotten rid of the dead weight. They're going to make more signings. I'm so excited for this Arsenal season, and I can't wait to be back next week after a loss to Crystal Palace. Can't wait. Can't wait. I'm getting myself ready. I'm hedging. And I'm edging for the season to come. I'm hedging and
Great.
Edging.
Great. Good to be back.
Such a bad joke. Oh, God. All right. Top four picks, Jimmy. Let's start from the bottom. Number four, who do you got?
All right. Number four. And this, I've been like, I'm so torn with this. I really struggled, really. I'm going to go Arsenal four.
Okay.
I think Arsenal is going to be very, very good. And I think four, I know last year they almost finished fourth, but it's like they barely got there. I think this year the top four is going to have more separation from the rest of the league. I'm going to go fourth, but I think they're going to be really, really good. And I think we're going to end the season going, this team is going to be so dangerous the following year. Like, I think this is a year they take the step forward. We're right. Getting to the top four isn't going to be like, oh, well, yeah, we did it. We got the Wenger trophy. This is going to be like, we got to top four. We're getting that Champions League money now. We're going to reinforce beyond this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real problem. So I have Arsenal fourth, but I really think it's going to be a great year.
Yeah. I have Arsenal third. And I think it's because they are deeper than Spurs, who I'm putting at fourth. I think Arsenal are building a very strong bench at this point. I mean, like, Smith Rowe is going to come off the bench. Potentially Tielemans, if he comes in, is going to come off the bench. Either Tierney or Zinchenko is coming off the bench. Saliba will be probably coming off the bench. And if he doesn't, it's Tomiyasu at right back, who was excellent last year when he was healthy. Ben White or Gabriel, who I think Arsenal might have one of the stronger back lines in the league, too. And Gabriel Martinelli could be potentially coming off the bench. Pepe. This team has a pretty strong backlog of players who can come in and change games. And I mean, Eddie Nketiah as well. For as much, pessimism around Eddie as there has been in the past, he finished the season super strong. He's had a strong preseason as well. I'm excited for this team for a lot of different reasons. But I think the most important thing is they're finally just clicking. These players have played together for a while, or it feels like it at least. And there's a clear plan. Where with Spurs, I think they found it a little bit towards the end of the season, but they're still going to be up and down. And I think the signings they made, while I think a lot of excellent players, I don't think they fit as easily and as well as the signings that Arsenal have made. You know what I mean? Like, Perisic is a really great signing, but I don't know that it makes immediate sense to me. Yep. It makes sense to give like Son or Kane or Kulusevski a break. It makes sense to bring in Richarlison to do the same thing. It makes sense to bring in Spence, but like, I don't think those players are quite as important as the signings as Arsenal have made.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I just think I like I said, I agree with you on everything. I think Spurs just have a little more at the top end talent. Whereas when I see Kane and Son, I don't necessarily think that Arsenal's play. And I think they have potential to get there. Like, if you told me at the end of the season we talk about Saka the same way as we talk about Son, I could believe that. I'm not saying it's impossible. Right. But right now, Son and Kane are world-class players.
Two of the best 10 players in the league. I mean, they're unbelievable. Yeah.
And for that reason, with the manager they have now, I do not have Spurs third. Oh. I have Liverpool.
Oh, Jimmy, I don't know about this.
Let me explain. So I have Spurs second, and I have Liverpool third. I think Liverpool are going to take a slight step back this season.
Oh, I don't think so.
The reason I say that is because I was a firm believer that the best player on Liverpool, for 2 years I think I've said this, was Sadio Mane. And I believe that they have lost, because Sadio Mane was a difference maker in big games. I know whenever City played Liverpool, he was the one who scared me, not Salah. Like, if he got the ball, I was just terrified.
Right.
Because he had that, just like, that tenacity to be at the right spot, like the thought. He was so smart to find space, and he had the ability to score goals that I don't see. Salah's incredible on the ball. He's incredible at finding space, getting goals in. But Mane could score these curling goals from outside the box. He could score. Yeah. He could score anything. Headers. He was great at everything, and he was a menace. He kind of Gabriel Jesus way, which was he never stopped running. He was just. Whereas Salah, when he's off the ball, is kind of waiting to be back on attack. Like Mane was just incredible. I think losing him is a bigger loss than people are making it out to be. I don't believe Darwin Nunez offsets that because I think he's a different player.
Right.
I just think that's a big loss. So I think Liverpool take a slight step back, and I think Spurs step forward enough that they can finish second. I do think the whole top four is going to be tight.
Yeah.
I think the top four is going to be separated from the rest of the league in a way we haven't seen in the last few years. Not the biggest separation.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to be on the last day of the season finding out who finishes fourth, is my point.
Interesting.
I think these four teams are better than the rest of the league, or have the potential to be. And I'm going to go with that. That's what I think. I think it's going to be really tight. I just think Spurs, with the signings they have, with Conte having the full season. And again, Conte, he's going to get the burnout. He's not going to be here after this year. I don't I believe he's going to get everything he can out of these players this year. And I think he's got enough to make them at least challenge for this title.
I don't know. I mean, the same reason I think they finished fourth is the same reason I don't. It's just like... The problem for Spurs wasn't attack, right? I mean, Spurs scored a ton of goals. They're going to score a ton of goals. I mean, Kulusevski, Perisic, Richarlison, Harry Kane, Son. That is potentially, I mean, I would say it's the best attacking lineup in the Premier League from a pure, like, you know, I mean, City are going to score a ton of goals, but that is like the scariest top three in any combination that you put it.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially the scariest top three in all of Europe. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is what's behind them. I don't think Basuma is the answer to the Spurs problem of midfield. I think they just have a general midfield problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Bentancur, and I don't even know who else. I'm trying to think who plays that center attacking position for Spurs, and I honestly can't.
Well, they don't really play with like a center attacking because of the
Harry Kane system. Drops in
with the wings too. You know what I mean? Like they don't. It's not really the style they play. I think you're going to see a midfield that's probably going to be made up of Bentancur with Basuma and mixing in, you know, different players.
Is that strong enough though?
I mean,
is that defense strong enough?
Like, I think the defense is pretty good. I mean, I think Romero is really good. I think Romero is a very, very.
I do too. I think he's excellent. But when you have to play people like Eric Dier, when you have to bring in,
Like the Longlet signing. I don't think that was
very
a good
odd.
I didn't get that signing. That's one I didn't get, and I get that they needed some cover at the back. That was one I didn't really like. I don't like that one that much. I don't think it's I don't think it's the best signing they made. I think the rest of their signings were good. I think Spence is an exciting signing.
I think so too.
I think he can help there. I know Conte doesn't seem to like Reguilón, so maybe he's not going to play, but he's someone I actually like quite a bit. And I even think Ryan Sessegnon at the end of the year started to make progress too.
He's
so
bad.
We'll see.
I think he's a bad. I don't like Sessegnon. You know, that's what concerns me about Spurs more than any of the other teams that I would put in the top four is just that midfield defense combo scares mm-hmm. me more than the rest of the top four.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put Liverpool in second as well. I think you made a good point that Mane is a pretty big drop off. Jota is phenomenal. We'll be able to sustain that position pretty damn well. And, you know, Nunez is, I think, an upgrade from Firmino. But I think still going to be tough to take them out of that second spot. I think them and City are going to be in a constant battle. I mean, City are what, going on their third year for the title?
Yeah, they've won it twice. They're trying to win it three times in a row. I mean,
very difficult.
They've won it 4 out of 5, I believe, right now.
Yeah, and right? I mean, that's a difficult thing to achieve. You know, I know they brought in Haaland, but they did lose Gabriel Jesus. They lost Sterling, who were two important players for them.
Fernandinho, who, again, granted, didn't play much last season, but, I mean, is still a big part of the team, especially in the, you know, in the locker room. A big part of it to lose him, I think, hurts. And, I mean, I guess the real thing with City will come down to a big part is going to be if Bernardo Silva actually goes to Barcelona.
Yeah, if he leaves.
I don't think that's happening. I'm convinced that's not happening. Because I don't see how City would basically tell Chelsea, you have to pay, you didn't read our valuation for Ake, so we're not selling you Ake, to then let Barcelona get Bernardo Silva for like 30 to 40 million less than City claimed to have wanted for him. I just find that hard to believe.
You know, I have wondered if that's the mystery winger that Arsenal are waiting on, if it's Bernardo Silva, because he was linked there earlier in the transfer market. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Bernardo Silva would come to Arsenal. I think he's a step above, to be honest. I think Bernardo Silva is phenomenal. But, you know, you never know. I mean, these guys have worked with Mikel Arteta. But
yeah, I mean, I think if he leaves, it's Barcelona. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Barcelona next year.
Yeah.
I feel like this is his last year at City. Mm-hmm. But I just would be surprised, you know, with the season starting on Sunday for City, if they're going to let Bernardo Silva go now. They would have signed someone to replace him, or like the links have started a little bit with Paqueta, but that's the only link, and that's only recent. And I just feel like you would have heard more chatter about them targeting someone to backfill that role. Like, they already really need a winger. I think that City lack wingers right now after selling Sterling. Yeah. I think it probably means we'll see Cole Palmer actually get a shot to really make a statement, and he's a very exciting player. I really do think he has great potential, same as James McAtee, which is another youngster that could play. But like, I do think they lack wingers, so if they were to sell Bernardo, who's obviously played more centrally for City but has played on the wing a lot as well, to lose him in addition to already being kind of short there, I'd be really surprised by that.
Yeah, but we're both in agreement that City are the likely winners of the league. You know,
I just
they just have too much. I think
they're the best team. I think they have good depth. I don't think they have as much depth as sometimes people think they do. Because, like I said, I think they have some attacking. I really comes down to, and I think he's going to be fantastic. We talked all about Haaland, but I think Julian Alvarez is going to be incredible. Like, watching him play against Liverpool, he looked very, very threatening, very aggressive, very fast. Like, a lot faster than I expected him to be. And he's a natural finisher. So, you know, obviously it's a big step up going from the league in Argentina to the Premier League. And I think for a lot of people, that might be the reason you don't hear his name brought up as much. But I think he's going to actually have a real big impact. And I think he's probably the reason they let Sterling go, is that they intend to play him on the wing, because he can play both the wing and up front. So,
yeah. All right. And two quick things before we get to the few Twitter questions that we had. We didn't talk much about Chelsea. We didn't talk much about Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
We both put them out of the top four. Where do you think United finish? And do you think they're going to be improved from last season?
So they're definitely going to be improved.
They were horrible.
Stunk last season. Where, regardless of where they finished, they were not fun to watch. They were not threatening really in any way. they were just, they slogged through the season, the whole season. It was just a slog. I think they will be better. I think they have the potential to really fix things with Erik ten Hag. I think it just determines if United gets out of their own way and actually lets him do it. I think they've made good signings. I think Lisandro Martinez is a great signing. I don't know much about Malacia, the young fullback that they signed from Feyenoord, but from what I've seen, it's supposed to be good. I think Christian Eriksen's a very good signing. I think he's a perfect bridge signing. When you have a new manager to bring in someone they know, someone they can trust, I think that they, like, I think they'll be in Europe. So I guess that's my answer, is I think they're fifth or sixth. And I think Chelsea are right there with them too. But at least United, I think, are finally maybe headed in the right direction. Whereas Chelsea, I just don't know. I want to know what you think about United before I get to Chelsea, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel similarly. I'm nervous about the Ronaldo situation. I'm not sure that that's going to go over well. I mean, I saw a video, not that it means anything, the other day, but it looked like Ten Hag was trying to give Ronaldo instructions. And Ronaldo was just kind of brushing him off. I mean, that's a pretty big figure in the locker room to be, you know, causing a disruption. No one bigger in world football probably to cause a disruption in your locker room than Cristiano Ronaldo. And they are holding him hostage a little bit. I think that's a problem.
But are they, though? That's honestly my question. Are they, or just nobody wants him? And they have to be like, oh, we don't want to sell, because what Ronaldo wants supposedly is just to be released from his contract.
Yeah.
And I think they're just trying to be like, no, he's not for sale. Okay, like, you actually got to buy him. We're not just going to let you get him for free.
Yeah, and no one can afford to do that is basically the problem. But I don't know. I think Lisandro Martinez is a very good signing for them. They desperately need another center back. Jadon Sancho is most likely going to come good. I know Martial has had a solid preseason. I don't think he's a great player, though. Rashford is probably going to have a comeback this year. Or, you know, I hope for Marcus Rashford that he does. Because I think everyone likes Rashford. Yeah,
good person.
He's a good guy.
Whether you like him as a player or not, good person.
Right. And then Christian Eriksen, we want to see Christian Eriksen succeed as well. But I just don't know. I don't know if Ten Hag is going to be able to turn the ship so much. But I agree, they'll be in Europe. And like you were starting to say, Chelsea is a problem. Or it seems like they might be.
Like, what are they?
Last year, they were it. I was like, this is the team to look out for. They're terrifying. And now it's players are wanting to leave. They're not being allowed to leave. Transfers they want to happen are not happening. The manager is disgruntled. Lukaku went back to Inter Milan on a loan. Insane. Timo Werner is now probably going back to Leipzig. There's a whole lot of movement going on there. I mean, isn't Ziyech on the move as well?
Possibly, yeah. AC Milan, maybe. I mean, they've brought in Raheem Sterling. Great signing. Under 50 million, about 50, 47, solid. Something like that. Great signing. Honestly, I think Sterling is still a great player. Streaky as hell. But a great player. When he's on, you want him. Yeah. You're going to put him in your team. First name on the team sheet every time. Koulibaly. Older, but still incredible world-class center back.
Right.
But you lost Antonio Rudiger. Who's better than him? Yeah. Like, Koulibaly is great, but Rudiger's better. And you lost Rudiger.
Lost Christensen.
Rudiger was your best player. Like, he was your best player the last two seasons, and he's gone for free. Christensen, you know, had his difficulty, but has come good over the last couple seasons. Been very, very good. Yeah. And he's gone too.
They're holding absolutely quite a hostage.
Yeah, and Alonso for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think they're just mad at Barcelona.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Lukaku thing has been a catastrophe. You sell him to Inter. Well, no, you didn't sell him. Excuse me, you sold him a long time ago. But you buy him from Inter is what I meant to say, for an insane fee. Just to then loan him back to them for a minimal, was it 9 million they got out of loan or whatever.
Yeah.
The point being, you basically paid Inter all this money for him to play for Inter. It's insane. And I think Lukaku is going to be great for Inter. Let me just say that.
100%.
It's going to be fantastic. I just don't get what Chelsea are doing. Cucurella, would he be a great signing? Absolutely. Do they really need a left back?
Nope.
Do they need a left wing now that they have Sterling who can play on the left or right? Not really. So I don't really get why that's the priority right now. If they end up losing Azpilicueta as well, and they don't bring in a center back, they missed out on Ake. It looks like they're going to miss out on Kimpembe as well. Mm-hmm. If they can't bring in a center back, I mean, they've been linked to so many, it's hard to even keep track of who they're after now. I think it's Fofana right now is the main target. The one. But we'll see. The thing with Chelsea is Chelsea can always be scary. There's still so many great players on the team, but I just think the losses they have really hurt. And I think Tuchel is a volatile character. To your point before, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it falls to pieces this year.
There's no team more volatile in the Premier League than Chelsea. No team goes from winning the Champions League to 10th place quicker than Chelsea and winning the league to 10th place quicker than Chelsea. I mean, it's just kind of what they do. So we'll see. One to watch. Chelsea could easily finish in the top four, but I think the season's starting a little bit too soon for them, and I think they might have a bumpy start. I think they have some pretty tough matches to start the season as well.
Yeah.
But let's get to our quick hit Twitter questions. Gavin is back in the Twitter questions. He said, will the Man City reserves finish in top 10? I think he's meaning Arsenal. I think that's an insult.
Does he literally mean the reserves? I don't know. I guess he means Arsenal. I think it's meant to be an insult to you. Either that, it could be Southampton. Also, could be Burnley now, because there's a lot of baby City teams around. If you've noticed, I mean, Southampton bought two of City's players. I talked about Bazuna, spoke Lavia. They're trying to also buy Sam Adozie, who was supposed to be going to Leverkusen, but now they're trying to hijack that transfer. So they got a little City Junior. We've got Burnley, the real City Junior, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Vincent Kompany.
Got his first win.
I want Burnley to come back to the Premier League. Boy. I can't believe I've said that out loud. I think he means Arsenal. That's what I assume.
And we already said top four, but the City reserves probably not anymore. They probably couldn't finish top 10 anymore. Yeah. But pretty darn good. The Weekly Nutmeg podcast, they said, who scores more goals, Haaland or Nunez? I think we both agree on Haaland. And who did better in the transfer market, Spurs or Arsenal?
That's tough. I'm going to go Arsenal just because I think Jesus is the best transfer that any of them have made. I guess this will be a big part of if you consider this transfer to be this season or last season for Spurs. Kulishevsky, is that last season's transfer, this season's transfer?
I would consider it last. It was January. He played half a season for them.
Right. Yeah. So, because I think if he was part of, you included him in the summer signings, like if you said he was part of this, because I think it was a loan to buy or whatever, then maybe it pushes them up a little bit. But I'm going to go with Arsenal.
Yeah.
Though I think Spurs have done really well. Because like I said, I really like Bazuma. I think Perisic is a great signing.
Yeah, I fully agree. Spurs have made world-class signings. Perisic, I mean, was phenomenal in Serie A. And Bassoum is a great player. Arsenal wanted him, potentially. And, they're going to be strong. But I think Arsenal did more in the positions that they needed than Spurs did. I think Spurs stacked up in the positions they were already doing well in. And Arsenal filled the positions they desperately needed to fill, and they did it well. And then Steve Stupka, he asked us, how far in the season before Everton secures a spot in Europe? Or maybe safety is a better question. We talked about that. We're concerned.
We did. Yeah, we're concerned with Everton, but we both think they will be safe.
15th. That's where Everton.
What'd you say, 15th? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I think, we'll go with that. 15th.
Sucks. That sucks. To be an Everton fan, you were so close to getting into that, like, Europe, that top six.
You had Carlo Ancelotti.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's brutal. That's brutal.
2 years ago.
And then they signed Rafa. the man they hated so much. And then it just went into a spiral.
Super Frank.
Oh, man. Super Frank. Super bad Frank. All right, Jimmy. let's do our first one of the season. Let's get into our predictions. And let's start with Arsenal on Friday, August 5th, to kick off the Premier League away at Crystal Palace, a day after the All or Nothing documentary premieres on Amazon Prime. Going to be incredible. Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. Who do you have?
2-1 Arsenal.
Yes, yes, yes. 2-0 Arsenal. Arsenal aren't letting any goals this season.
Do you remember last year when it took them 4 games to score a goal?
Yeah. Yeah. I am going to I'll stick with you at 2-0. Let's get a 2-1. Consensus.
2-1.
Oh, I'm going 2-0. No consensus. Gabriel Jesus, brace. Chalk it up. Can't wait for that game. So excited to see this team. And then on Saturday, we have Fulham and Liverpool.
So I do believe in Fulham this year, but this is not the introduction to the league you needed. I'm going to go 4-1 Liverpool.
Welcome back, Fulham. 5-0 Liverpool. Bournemouth versus Villa.
2-0 Villa.
They're at Bournemouth. It's tough to go to these newly promoted teams if you're not a team like Liverpool is just going to beat them down. I'll go 2-1 Villa. I think Villa will still be too much. Then we have Leeds versus Wolves.
So not Wolves. Oh yes, sorry, wrong one. Leeds Wolves, and I'm going to go. I think Leeds win. I go 1-0 Leeds.
Leeds win. Okay.
1-0 Leeds.
I'll take this one as a draw. 1-1. Aaronson gets his first goal. Bring a tear to our eye. Then we go Newcastle, a team who we need to talk about probably next week versus Nottingham Forest.
I'm sure we will. I think we probably thought we were going to be talking more about Newcastle with the summer, but we didn't. But I do think Newcastle have enough to win. I have a 2-1 Newcastle.
Ooh, I'll follow you on 2-1. I think that's a solid pick. St. James is going to be bumping this entire season. It's going to be a terrible place to go and play. And then Spurs versus Southampton.
So, Spurs are good, but I think they struggle a little defensively here, but I'm going to go 3-2 Spurs.
I'll go 3-1 Spurs. And then we have Everton and Chelsea. Frank.
So I'm so excited for the first one of the year. The first 0-0.
No, I don't know. You know, the teams we both think they're going to struggle. I was going to pick a draw. I still think Chelsea are going to beat them 2-1. I don't think Chelsea are going to start that badly with an Everton defeat or dropping points in any way. And then on Sunday, we have Leicester and Brentford.
So Leicester are a team we should talk about next week, too. I don't know what to make of Leicester. I'm going to go 1-0 Leicester with a Jamie Vardy goal. Just to start the season as they always do with Vardy scoring. So yeah. I'm going that way.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go 2-1 Brentford. I think Brentford pull it off. First game, they get a win. And then we have United and Brighton. The arch nemesis of Manchester United is always Brighton.
So I think because it's United and their fans are crazy and how it always goes, United will win this game and they'll win it easily. And we will hear the United are back. We get the Rio Ferdinand videos are going to be popping up and all that. I'm going 2-0 United. Ronaldo brace. And, he's staying. He never wanted to leave. All that stuff starting. United, top of the table. All that nonsense. So that's where I'm going.
I'm going to go 2-2. Brighton are always a problem for Manchester United. Trossard is the owner of Manchester United. I think it's a draw. And I think we pick up right where we left off with United. And then we have West Ham and City.
So very tough game to start the season, especially because it's August, which means Mikel Antonio is going to be in rare form. So I'm terrified of this game. I think he scores and he scores first, but then I do think City get 3 back. I go 3-1 City.
That was my exact score, 3-1 City, and I think Haaland scores his first in the Premier League in this one. But Jimmy, that's all we have. That's our first episode of the season. I think this is our 6th Premier League season doing, or 5th actually. Fifth one doing this. It's good to be back. Let's make sure we do more this season.
Yeah, we'll do more. They all won't be this long.
That's right. We're going to cut it down. But lot to talk about this time. We're excited to be back. And Jimmy, do you want to hit him with the plugs?
Yes, please reach out to us. We're so happy to be back. Want to hear from everybody again. Twitter, Instagram, at Soccer Mostly. Email us, mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. We have not forgotten, and we hope you haven't, how much we love those 5-star reviews. So go please leave those on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Share, tell a friend. We're back. New season, new listeners. Make it happen.
Yes, sir. And thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.